Welcome into the Locked On Stars podcast. I'm your host, Ken Nash, joining you here on this Monday, Memorial Day. In today's episode, we're continuing our evaluations of the 2021 season for certain players and looking at their outlooks on 2022. And we're going to do a trio today, and they're big-name players. Normally, I wouldn't do it, and we probably will have these big players in one episode together. But we're going to do we'll call them the beat up boys, the injured players, the guys who did not play very much this season. Talk about them and kind of their, you know, what we did see from them and kind of their roles maybe next year. These guys will all be regular topics of conversation on the pod this offseason. You can certainly believe that. But we're going to talk about these three, and it's Tyler Seguin, Alexander Radulov, and Ben Bishop. We'll start with Seguin and Radulov. If we run out of time, we may push Bishop to later in the week. But these guys all didn't really play this year. Obviously, Radulov played 11 games. Tyler Seguin just played a couple of games, and Ben Bishop didn't play at all. So I wanted to kind of group them together because they all are incredibly impactful players who really didn't play for the Stars very much this year. We're going to talk about those guys and spend a lot of time kind of looking at next year for those guys. Today's episode brought to you by Locked On NHL. You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything happening in the league. Subscribe and listen to each day for a quick look at the biggest stories and game recaps each day. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today, wherever you get your podcast. Before we dive in, I do want to say this is Memorial Day here in the U.S. I know we got some fans that are, you know, from international listeners and stuff like that. But I do just want to say, you know, Memorial Day for a lot of people, time of reflection. You know, I just want to, you know, give thanks for this is a day for those who served and, you know, paid the ultimate price and you know, gave the ultimate sacrifice for us to have the freedom that we do here in the U.S. Just want to thank those people, the families of those people. It's a selfless decision to protect somebody else's freedom, somebody you never met. We're incredibly grateful the fact that we're able to do this podcast and have that privilege and that freedom. We're incredibly, incredibly grateful for that. So just wanted to talk about that up front. And I know a lot of people, you know, enjoy the long weekend and enjoy time with family. And that certainly time with family is something to be commended. But for a lot of people, this is a tough day. A lot of people lost friends, family, loved ones in combat and in service. And even those that, you know, were lost when they came back. You know, just want to, you know, prayers with those families. And once again, you know, thanks doesn't even begin to describe the gratitude that many of us have for your loved ones. So just wanted to talk about that real quick and just kind of, you know, mention that. Let's go ahead and we'll dive into these three players. We're going to start with Alexander Radulov. Obviously, he had the most playing time out of any of these three players this year, and that's not really saying much, right? He started the year healthy and then got beat up and missed some time, came back, thought that he might be able to come back and play a long-term role, and lo and behold, he came back for a couple of games and then never returned to the lineup. This year, he played just 11 games, had 12 points, though, in 11 games, and was a +9 in those 11 games. He was a huge, huge blow, huge, huge loss for this Dallas Stars team. You know, that goes without saying. You kind of look at when he impacted this Stars team. He started off the year healthy, played the entire month of January, first couple of games in February, then missed about 5-6 weeks, something like that, from February 4th to March 14th, came back in the lineup, played the 14th, 16th, and 18th of March, and then that was the end of his season. But early on in the year, I mean, he really was incredibly impressive. He had 3 points on opening night against Nashville, a great game for the Stars as a whole, and then went pointless in the next two games, then had a point against Detroit, point against Carolina, 2 points against Columbus, 3 points against Columbus, and then was pointless in his return against Columbus over a month later, and then had a point against Tampa Bay. But you know, he was incredibly, incredibly impactful, and I think this year was maybe some of the best hockey that we saw Alexander Radulov play during his time with the Dallas Stars. If you look at what he was able to do and you know, how the Stars looked when he was on the ice, this was probably the most that we've seen him and gone, this is the guy, you know, since he first joined, you know, this is the guy that the Stars signed a couple of years back to come in and be the third guy, right? And he's kind of fallen down the pecking order, and there's a case to be made when fully healthy, you know, he's maybe the fourth or fifth or maybe sixth guy when everybody's clicking. I mean, he's fallen down the pecking order, but he still commands an important role on the Stars team, notwithstanding he's got a pretty big cap hit. So to see what he did this year was really, really encouraging, and for him to go down with injury and miss all but 11 games this season, 56-game season, he played in just 11, was a big blow for Dallas, and I think it set Dallas back considerably, especially when you consider Roope Hintz played the season very beat up. Jamie Benn, was kind of inconsistent. Gurianov was inconsistent. There was no Tyler Seguin. Having Radulov, who started off the year so strong and then kind of dropped out of the lineup because of injuries, you know, that was a void that the Stars, it felt like, never were able to quite fill, and that's that kind of is the story of their year, right? They couldn't fill the Seguin void, they couldn't fill the Ben Bishop void, they couldn't fill the you know, they didn't have anybody to compliment Roope Hintz, you know, Gurianov sagged off, there was nobody to pick up that, so it was just there was these spots where they were missing a player or the player wasn't performing like you would expect, and while they had some other players play really, really well, Robertson, Pavelski, to name just a couple, it still wasn't quite enough, and it felt like for a lot of the season they were one top quality player away, top quality scorer away from really being back in the mix of it all. And I think Radulov, if Radulov plays, you know, say he comes back and he kind of does the Roope Hintz thing, which at first that's what it seemed like he was going to do, was going to come back and be in and out of the lineup a little bit and you know, maybe day to day pretty often, but you know, was going to play more often than not. I think if that's the case and you get that version of Radulov, I think that the Stars team probably makes the playoffs. I mean, they really, when you're talking about the margins, talk about how many games they lost in OT and how many games they lost in OT to people ahead of them, you know, namely the Nashville Predators in one goal games and stuff like that. The margins were so small that having Alexander Radulov play 40 of your 56 games rather than 11 of your 56 games, I think puts you over. I mean, you're talking about if he's, you know, you're talking about probably a 4 or 6 point swing somewhere in there. I mean, you'll just, and, you know, I know there's advanced metrics that kind of do the point share and what they're, you know, what they provided in terms of points, but you know, in terms of just having him on the ice and we've talked about, there's a domino effect. When you're fully healthy, it lets all these other guys play their normal roles because the Stars were shuffling and, you know, had guys playing out of position and spots that they're not used to. Having Radulov in there, not only do you get Radulov's production, do you get the energy, do you get the comfort of having a guy like Alexander Radulov in the lineup that affects everybody, but it also means certain guys, Dickinson or Gurianov or whoever it may be, guys who kind of had to step up and fill a top six spot a little bit more frequently, don't have to do that with the same kind of you know, pressure, I guess, that they normally would. So Radulov, it was a big loss for this team. You're looking ahead to next year. He's under contract next season at 6.25. He will be with the Dallas Stars next year. I don't think there's anybody that's going to eat that contract, you know, especially you know, despite the fact that you know, even if he had a great year and played all year, I don't know that there's anybody that's going to try to take on that contract. Plus, he does have a modified no-trade clause with a 15-team no-trade list. And you know, with 1 year left on his deal and what you saw, the burst, this is a question you got to ask for a lot of people on this team is, if you could secure a way to save that money, could you go get equal or better production right now with that money? I'm not sure, based off what we saw from Radulov when he was healthy, that there's an alternative out there right now that you can come in. Because it's not just, is this player better? It's, is this player better? Can they acclimate to the team during the offseason? You know, get used to the city. They're on a one-year deal. You know, like Radulov got 1 year left on his deal. It's different to have 1 year left on your deal after you've been on a multi-year deal with a team than to sign a one-year deal and be kind of a mercenary for that team, right? It's just a different kind of mentality. So, is there a way for the Stars to meaningfully replace Radulov if there hypothetically was a move out there for them to be made? Unlikely, right? You're not going to get much back of value. Your best option, it's kind of like Anton Dobin, is to try to figure out a way to just get off the salary and then use that money elsewhere. With 1 year left on his deal, I think the best route is to keep him. I think they will keep him. If he can come back and play like he did this past year, I mean, that's a game changer for Dallas, right? That's almost like a new player, a brand new player coming in, you know, who could be, you know, putting up a point every, you know, more than a point per every two game average. I mean, that's huge, right? We talk about the point per game guys, and do the Stars have those? And they, you know, they really don't. And Radulov technically was one, but you know, even if he's putting up, you know, if he in an 82 game season, if he's having a 60 point season or 60, you know, that in that kind of range, I think that that's a huge, huge boost and a huge, huge game changer for the Stars team. It would require him to do something that he really hasn't done recently, which is produce across the entire season, right? He struggled with that a little bit. You know, you look at his season with the Stars, he had 72 points in 2018-19, then only had 34 last year. His first two seasons with Dallas, he was a 70-point player, 72 and 82, 72 and 80 and 70. If he can get back to the 60 threshold, I think that's a massive, massive win for this Dallas Stars team. 60 points at Alexander Radulov and across 82 games, I think the Stars are doing cartwheels and backflips. So, you know, I think that's the outlook for him. His grade on the year, I'm going to give him an incomplete. He only played in 11 games. When he was there, he was very, very good. So, you know, if you were going to handcuff me, I'd have to give him an A, but 11 games is such a small sample size, it's hard to kind of gauge it. But let's step aside real quick. When we come back, we'll talk about Tyler Seguin a little bit, and then we'll talk about Ben Bishop, and we're going to wrap up talking about the outlooks for all three guys again, just because I want to kind of paint the picture that I kind of see in my head of what these guys could do when they're back fully healthy. Before we do, let's talk about Wealthfront. Stonks, memes, rocket ships, day trading can be a lot of fun, but if you want to grow your long-term wealth, make it to the moon, you should open up a Wealthfront investment account today. There's decades of data that show that investors that trade individual stocks underperform the market every year. In fact, only 1% of day traders beat the market. The odds are in your favor if you're doing it alone. Team up with Wealthfront instead. Investing can be complicated. Whether you're a beginner or you've been investing for years, Wealthfront makes it easy. They've got the right tools for every portfolio. Wealthfront's trusted with over $20 billion worth of assets, and you can get your first $5,000 managed for free by going to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. Get your first $5,000 managed for free for life. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL. That's WEALTHFRONT.com/lockedonNHL to start growing your savings. Go to wealthfront.com/lockedonNHL and get started today. Back here at the Locked On Stars podcast, going to take a quick look at Tyler Seguin's season as well. Similar kind of situation to Alexander Radulov. Radulov obviously played more games than Tyler Seguin did, but was hurt for pretty much the entire season. You know, as far as grading them and looking at the year, we're going to give him an incomplete as well. He played in three games, had 2 points in three games. So his is even less so. Going to talk about what he did this year. I think there was a difference. I think the Stars looked a little bit better with him out there. And, you know, he's a weapon regardless of how he's playing. He's a weapon. But, you know, Tyler Seguin is, you know, he was kind of a little bit off last year, right? And we're trying to see if Tyler Seguin, Alexander Radulov, can get back to what they were earlier in their Stars career, which Tyler Seguin, across his time with Dallas, is nearly, you know, not quite a point per game, but nearly a point per game. In 8 years, 541 games, 516 points, 225 goals, 291 assists. I said it all year long, when he's healthy, if you put everybody that's healthy, all the forwards are good to go, I think Tyler Seguin is still the best forward on the Dallas Stars team. I know that he didn't have a great year last year, 2019-20, and his playoffs weren't great. He only had 50 points across 69 games. Go back to 2018-19, an 80-point season, played all 82, 78 points the year before that in 82 games, 72 the year before that in 82 games, 73 and 72 in 2015-16, 77 and 71 2014-15. I mean, you go back across this guy's career with the Stars, and he's been, you know, he's been a point per game player or near that level, you know, a couple points off. I think 6 points off is his biggest gap with the Stars, barring last year. Yeah, 6 points. 2016-17, he finished, 8 points shy of a point per game season, right? So I think that he is the guy still for this Dallas Stars forward group. Now, it'll be interesting to see looking at this next year, and I'm not going to talk about this here really because, like I said, he didn't. Two, three games, while he looked decent, and he obviously had a couple points in three games, which is good to see, especially after such a long layoff and such a, you know, significant injury and recovery. Not really enough to go off of. But I think if you look at next year with Seguin, right, I think he is somebody who is going to benefit maybe the most from how the Stars, I think, are going to set up next year, which is with the emergence of Jason Robertson, with Joe Pavelski finding his form again, with Roope Hintz coming on and looking like, you know, he could give Sagan a run for his money for being the best forward on this Stars team. I think Sagan's somebody who's going to benefit from that. He's going to be able to ease into it. He's not always going to get the toughest matchup in terms of who the team is putting out there to him to face, right? Because now teams have to choose. For the first time in a long time, if the Stars are healthy, teams are going to have to make some decisions about how they match up against this team, right? For the longest time, it was whichever line Sagan's on, you know, whichever line has two of the big four or five, that's who you go against, right? It's Sagan and you just had to go who's hot, you match up against them, because if they weren't hot, then there was no production from anybody but whoever was hot. So I think for the first time next year, teams are going to have to make a decision, right? Do you match up against that Hintz, Pavelski, Robertson line, or do you go, you know, match up against what could be a Ben Sagan, Radulov, or Ben Sagan, Gurianov, or whatever it may be? You match up against that line, or whether it's, you know, Gurianov, I mean, really, it could be if they go Ben, Ben in the center, if it's Kiviranta, Sagan, and Gurianov, I mean, you're going to have to start to make some decisions about what this, you know, how you match up. And I think somebody's going to benefit from that, because when before that emergence, you know, in past years, more often than not, he drew, you know, whoever he was with, he drew a tough assignment, tough matchup. Teams went hard at him. They were going to try to beat him up. I think that this year he may be able to benefit and not have to see some of that. So I'm expecting a big year from him. You know, we talked about Radulov. If he comes back and plays similar to what he did in that short stint this year, he's like a new player. Tyler Seguin is going to be a complete brand new addition, right, to this team. I think you look at this team and where they really saw voids, right? It's in the goaltending situation, which we're going to talk about, and then it was in their forward production. I think that was a big problem for them, and especially at the depth side of things, which has been a consistent concern for this Dallas Stars team over the past couple of years. I think now, because of the emergence of Robertson, because of the emergence of Hintz, because of the emergence of reemergence of Joe Pavelski, now you're looking at some of these guys that were the top guys that weren't carrying, you know, weren't necessarily shouldering their load as a top, you know, top line forward. The Bens, the Sagans, although Sagan, it's not really in the same category as Ben, but Ben, Sagan, Gurianov, those kind of guys are now coming in and they're second line forwards, or they're depth, you know, they're going to come in with almost depth forward expectations. The top line, I think, is going to be taken care of. So now it's everything that these guys add is just, you know, icing on top, right? If Sagan comes in and has, you know, if Radulov comes in and has a 50-point season across 82 games, and Sagan comes in and has a 50-point season across 82 games, and Ben has a 50-point season, and Gurianov has a 50-point season, I mean, suddenly you're talking about a really, really, you know, potent Stars team. And no, you know, is that all going to happen? Probably not, right? But just the hypotheticals of it. If Pavelski produces, in a similar rate he did, and Robertson similar, and Hintz is a point per game player, which I don't think is out of the realm of possibility. Then you're talking about, you know, Klingberg, Ben, Gurianov, Haskin, and Sagan, Radulov, all those guys, they don't have to be point per game or even nearly point per game. If they're just putting up 40 to 50, maybe even more point seasons, this becomes a potent Dallas Stars team, I think. So that's where I'm looking at Sagan. I think he's going to have some reduced expectations. Maybe not reduced expectations. That's probably not the right word. Not reduced expectations, but some reduced load that he's going to have to shoulder, right? I think the expectations won't change with that cap hit in that long-term contract. The expectations won't change. Expectations are he's a point-per-game player when he comes back, and I think he can do that. That's the expectations. But in terms of the load to get this team into the playoffs again and to maybe make this team a contender, I don't think he has to have that kind of load anymore. I think he can be, I think he can be a little bit, you know, more of a second line producer and still get some of the, you know, the results of getting into the postseason, which is what the Stars really want, right? I think that's the case, which I think is a huge, huge positive for him and for the Stars, right? I think the Stars are now in a situation where they can get away with that. And you know, that's a good thing, especially because I think they will still make an addition or two this offseason. Not big ones, but an addition or two. I don't think there's any reason why the Stars shouldn't be a playoff team next year. Things, yes, have to go right and in their favor, and they don't always do. Rarely do they all. But I do think that there's a good situation for Dallas. Now, Sagan's outlook, obviously $9.85 million cap hit. Next year, 2022-23, 2023-24, 2024-25, 2025-26, 2026-27. So he's got five more years left on that deal. Huge cap hit. Expectations for him alone are point per game. That's he needs to be the best forward, if not the best player, but at least the very least the best forward on this Dallas Stars team. All I'm saying is I think the load that, you know, if he's not producing at that rate, I don't think the Stars are you know, up a creek without a paddle, right? I think the Stars can still be, you know, in the playoffs and maybe be outside contenders, even if Sagan's not at that rate, because I think they've got enough guys now to kind of pick up the slack and fill some more important kind of roles. So let's step aside one more time. We come back, we'll talk about Ben Bishop real quick, and then we'll wrap up, with all three of these guys, and then we'll dive into tomorrow. We'll be back with more of the similar content, breaking these players down, their seasons, and we'll continue doing that tomorrow. But let's wrap this one up first. Before we do, Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. There's so many delicious flavors. They got 9 of their normal flavors, and they've got occasional limited time flavors. They cycle in and out. Phenomenal stuff Built Bar has. I'm a big fan of the mint brownie and the peanut butter brownie, but all 9 of their good original flavors are great. They're normal flavors. Go try it for yourself. If you haven't, you can go try all the flavors. You can go get a mixed box and you get 2 of each of those 9 flavors. It's a great investment, I think, because here's the secret. They're covered in 100% chocolate. They taste like a candy bar, but they're a protein bar, right? They've got 17 grams of protein, only 130 calories, only 4 grams of sugar, only 4 grams of net carbs. That's most of the bar. Some bars have, some of the other flavors have 18 grams of protein, just 180 calories, just 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. They're still, you know, they're still money, right? That you're not going to feel guilty, but you get to indulge a little bit as well. Go try them out. If you haven't, go to BuiltBar.com, use promo code LOCKED15. You get 15% off your first order of Built Bars. Promo code LOCKED15, 15% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's wrap up today's episode. We talked about Alexander Radjo. We talked about Tyler Seguin. And like I said, these guys, don't think that this is all we're going to cover, these guys this offseason. You know, we're going to do some deep dives on these three, because these three are going to be critical players for the Dallas Stars. But I wanted to just kind of talk about them in the context of this 2021 review, because they were all injured. They were, you know, Sagan played 3 games, Radjo played 11 games, and Ben Bishop didn't play. So I wanted to talk about them real quick and just do them all together. Ben Bishop, wrap it up with him. Obviously, did not play at all this season. Before the season started, was going to be out long term. Thoughts were that he and Sagan could come back as early as maybe mid to late March. That slowly continued to push back into April. I think some of it had to do with the fact that the Stars were really kind of on the outside looking in pretty much all year of a playoff spot. And kept getting pushed back. And then it was announced alongside Alexander Radjo that he was going to miss the season, that Ben Bishop was going to miss the rest of the season as well. You know, that's the concern with him, right? Is we know that when he's healthy, he's still one of the best in the game. Even without seeing him this year, we know he's still one of the best in the game. He's 2018-19, he had a .934 save percentage, 198 goals allowed average, and 46 games played. Last season, started 43 games for the Stars, was 21-16-4 with a .920 save percentage, .250 goals allowed. I mean, he's an unbelievable goaltender still. The concern is how healthy is he and how healthy can he stay? Because, you know, while Anthony Dobin was a fantastic 1B and you know, was incredible in the playoff run, we saw that when he was the guy, because there was no Ben Bishop, and I know that was technically how the playoffs were, but it was different this year because we went into it knowing he was the guy. It wasn't the same, right? He's not quite to that level. Jake Ottinger, very, very talented goaltender of the future. You don't want him to have that load either. So how healthy can Ben Bishop stay? That is the question for him. He's going to be 34, going on 35 at the start of the season. He'll be 34, turn 35 about two months into the season. Not exceptionally old. I mean, he's on the back end of his career, but he's not aging out or past, you know, well past his prime. I think when he comes back, if he's healthy, I think you can fully expect him to have a good year. The if he's healthy part is the concern. He had a 4.916666, so we want to be technical, $1 million cap hit next year and the year after. So he signed through 22-23, 2 more years left on that deal. He's going to push Anthony Dobin out the door. He's got that no movement clause, so he can't be moved in the expansion draft unless he waives that. Ben Bishop is not waiving it to go to a brand new franchise. He's got a modified no trade clause nobody's trading for Ben Bishop. As good as he is, and as good as I think he will be when he comes back healthy, teams are not going to take that kind of risk. And that's the thing. That's the kind of the similar situation to a lot of where the, you know, Stars players that you might consider they would try to move on from is teams are not going to give the same value that the Stars value them at, right? Ben Bishop's worth more to the Stars next year coming off of this injury than he is to a team trying to acquire Ben Bishop. And so the Stars are in a spot where they've got to try to keep him and they've got to just bank on him being healthy, which, if he is, I think the Stars will be in a great spot. And so going into next year, I expect him to, you know, it'll be interesting to see what the mix looks like. Assuming Anthony Dobin's gone and he's fully ready to go, what does the mix between him and Jake Ottinger look like? Because we saw them really thrive on that 1A, 1B with Bishop and Anthony Dobin. Is Jake Ottinger, do you want to roll with that with Jake Ottinger? I think he's probably pretty close to ready, if not being ready, but he's still an incredibly young goaltender. Do you want to roll with that, or do you want to, you know, try to ease him in a little bit more, but also do you want to try to lighten the load on Ben Bishop? You know, it'll be interesting to see, because there's a lot of factors. You would think you would probably want to limit Bishop a little bit, just to make sure he's fully healthy and you can keep him healthy. You would want to limit Jake Ottinger a little bit just because you don't want to, you know, throw the rookie completely into the fire, although he won't be a rookie anymore. But you know, you don't want to put him in a situation where he's completely exposed and can't continue to develop. And you also, you know, does the 50-50 thing work? Is that too much for Bishop? Is that too much for Ottinger? I don't know. I think that's going to dictate a lot of what they do this offseason. But I think that full expectation is he's going to be 1A next year, probably a true number one. And if he's healthy, that's a big plus. I think that's a step forward for the goaltending from what we saw this year, which was, you know, admittedly a concern and an area issue for this Stars team. So Ben Bishop's going to be one to watch. Similar situation with Bishop, similar situation with Sagan and with Radulov. These guys come back and produce at the levels we know that they're capable of. Radulov, what we saw this year in the short stint. Sagan, what we saw a couple of years ago last time he was really, I think, truly healthy. Ben Bishop, what we saw last year when he was truly healthy, right? They come back and they're at or near those levels. This team is a playoff team, hands down. That's not even a question, right? With Hintz, with Pavelski, with Robertson playing like they are, with Ben, you know, I think is still going to be serviceable. I don't know what he is right now, but I think, you know, I think they're going to do everything they can to find the right fit for him. Denis Gurianov, I think, will bounce back a little bit. I think the defenseman, I think Klingberg will have a good year or could have a better year. I think Haskin will have a better year. I think if Radulov, Sagan, and Bishop come back and are healthy and performing at or near where they were, I think this team is a playoff team. The question is what is the likelihood that all three come back? I think Bishop's one of the more important ones. I think Bishop and Sagan are the two most important, right? I think if you're the Stars and you're going, which ones would we number one prefer to come back at full strength in production? It goes Sagan number one, because that contract mostly, you want to get your value out of that contract. Then I think it goes Bishop, because you rely on your goaltending. The style of play relies on good goaltending. And, you know, without him at that level, your goaltending is not going to be great. You know, it'll be good, but it won't be great. And then Radulov, right? Because Radulov, we know, has kind of been marred with some inconsistency. So if he's a little inconsistent, that's just kind of par for the course for him recently. But if all three do come back, you know, producing at a high level, this team becomes a very scary team. And I've talked about it, that top three, Pavelski, Hintz, Robertson, whether your actual quote-unquote top three or not, those three, then you've got, you know, your next lines are consisted of Ben, Sagan, Radulov, Gurianov, Kiviranta, are all in the mix for your next, you know, your next line or whatever. Probably, you know, I would think you would probably start Ben, Sagan, Radulov, but they could, you know, they can mix it around if they went, you know, Ben, Radulov, and somebody else, and, you know, Kiviranta, and then Sagan and Gurianov and somebody, I don't know. You got Fax in there as well. That becomes a really, really potent team. So seeing how these guys, you know, rehab and what the updates are and how they play next year, I mean, these guys are going to make or break, right? They come back and they're fully healthy and they're producing. That's three top tier, the impact of three top tier free agent signings, right? That's like shopping at the top of the market and hitting on all three, right? If they don't, then, you know, the Stars are in some trouble because they're paying these guys a lot of money, and so they're not going to be able to go get, you know, replacements for these guys or insurance. These guys are the insurance. So it'll be interesting. I'm hopeful. I think, like I said, I think Sagan will be great. I would think that Bishop, it's just about keeping him healthy. And then, you know, if Radulov is what we saw this year, wasn't an aberration, Radulov is the icing on top. So that's going to go for this one. We'll be back tomorrow with more of these player reviews. Make sure to tune in for that at Locked On Stars on Twitter, at Kenneth_Nash19, is my personal account. Make sure to follow us wherever you listen to podcasts. We show up in your feed every single day. Thank you for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, enjoy your Memorial Day. Enjoy your Monday, and I'll talk to you soon.